And you are listening to FOW Live on the FOW Radio Network. I am Patrick. With me, as always, Denny Danger, soon to be formerly known as Denny Danger on X, as he is living
the X universe.
Have you officially left?
Deactivated as of this morning.
You got the
nine plus years. It's a dead scene, man. Part of it was just, it felt like nothing, it felt boring. And then the other part was the algorithms kept messing around and I didn't actually see the stuff I wanted to. I was seeing other random stuff instead of the things I wanted to, and especially things in sequential order. You know, when you're trying to follow a show live and see GIFs and all this and tweets about them and it's all out of order and shoveled wrong, makes it irritating and frustrating. So, we've officially moved to the Instagram because I definitely don't need to be juggling three social media platforms. So I'm on the Facebook and the Instagram. The Facebook, because wrestling companies actually promote their shows on Facebook, unlike Twitter, and Instagram's more for fun.
Well, here I was going to ask, Danny, were you planning on taking your talents to Truth Social?
What is that?
That's Donald Trump's version of Twitter. After he got kicked out of Twitter, he created his own. His own social media platform called Truth Social.
Ah, yes, where he gives you the truth. That's as right. Opposed to, you know,
he does
the fake news and, you know, that kind of things.
Pretty much. Although I would say a lot of people are moving over to Threads. Have you heard of Threads?
I only recently heard of Threads. It's Facebook's Twitter, right? That's basically what it is.
Yes. Pretty much the same. But we'll see. Hey, you know, the Instagram works, I guess, in some ways.
It's different and new and exciting to me right now.
Yeah, well,
that might wear off after a while. I don't know. We'll see.
You should feel honored. I don't use Instagram as much, probably. Well, I don't use any of the social media platforms.
No, you really don't. No.
But I don't follow everybody or anybody, just anybody on the Instagram. So.
Ah. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. You're in an elite club there. The elite club. Not to be compared with the elite of the Bullet Club or another club. So Danny, and another week in the new year, and this, you know, more wrestling to talk about. So
yeah, big shows this past weekend. Yeah. Fun stuff happening. Let's go.
Let's go ahead and kick it off with TNA's return. Hard to Kill. This promotion, it will never end, and that's why Hard to Kill.
They are 100% hard to kill. Many times people thought they were done. I think there's still a lot of people that are surprised that they are still actually running as a company. The product quality has been consistent, you know, for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. The problem has just been getting people to watch it and pay attention and overcoming the stigma of those few rough years in the middle.
Yeah. But here they are, and they're hard to kill. So let's go ahead and get through it. The pre-show, Steve Macklin defeated Rich Swann. The System defeated Frankie Kazarian, Eric Young. Crazy Steve defeated Tommy Dreamer to become the new TNA Digital Media Champion. The Knockouts started the pay-per-view proper as Giselle Shaw defeated Alicia Edwards, Danny Luna, Jody Trev, Tasha Steeles, and Zaya Brookside, if that's how you spell her first name, to become the number one contender to the TNA Knockouts World Championship. Danny, Giselle, I believe, was your pick to win this match.
Yeah.
What do you think?
So I had forgotten, I guess, that the Ultimate X win, it's like an anytime cash in. It's basically like money in the bank. And I thought it was just kind of a like, you now have a right, you're number one contender, you have a right to challenge, but apparently it's kind of like a money in the bank anytime, anywhere kind of cash in thing. But Giselle was my pick to win. Yeah. I mean, she's been rising up the ranks, and with Deonna Purrazzo now exited TNA, it seemed to me that Giselle was being primed to kind of be the number one heel in the division. This win definitely moves her into that and moves her, right to be right title contention and possibly future champion, and carry that division.
Yeah, ne next up, PCO, Dirty Dango, defeats Dirty Dango by disqualification. That turns into a six-man tag. PCO, Rhino, and Jake Something defeat Oleg Prius, Alpha Bravo, and Dirty Dango. The DK defeated MK Ultra to win the Knockouts Tag Team Championships. So that's the second title change for the night. And yeah, the
Yeah,
DK,
for
new
the new
year
branding,
champion.
everybody got new titles that day, new TNA version titles. And yeah, unfortunately, two of them have already slipped through the new person new holder's fingers.
Yeah, I guess at least for at least for Tony Dreamer, he doesn't have to worry about, fitting that belt around his waist anymore. He was having a hard time when he got the new belt. All right. Next up, we had Chris Sabin defeat El Hijo del Vikingo and Kushida. What best match, in my opinion, here? TNA X Division Championship. Sabin retains the title.
Oh, I mean, it's first off, it's the X Division, and that's pretty much been something that has been known to steal the shows at many TNA events. And I mean, you look at those three names on paper and you kind of knew like this one's probably going to steal the flipping show. I mean, it rightfully did. I mean, you have essentially three of the best from three different parts of the world, colliding in there together. So yeah, it was insane. It was awesome.
Josh Alexander defeated the premier. I guess he was a premier. The Alex Hammerstone making his debut at TNA. A lot of meeting that match.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Two big old powerful dudes. And Hammerstone's been, somebody who's been looking to hit that next stage. He was an MLW where they pretty much built the company around him for a few years. He held pretty much all the, he held pretty much all their singles championships at one time, if I remember correctly. And then he kind of felt like he did everything he could there and wanted out. And at first they wouldn't let him out, and then they finally did. So now he's, I mean, I guess I haven't heard anything about whether he's signed with TNA. I think he's still kind of freelancing, kind of testing out the waters, and more power to him. See what places are, see, what their offers are, see, where the money is and where what fan reaction is. The good thing now is you got many places to kind of play the field and play against each other when it comes to, being a hot free agent. You have multiple options. I mean, take what you can. I mean, see what's out there. Have a little fun before you set yourself into one once for a longer term,
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Let's see here what we got next. As I'm losing my pages, hard to kill. Here we go. ABC defeated the Rascals, Loretta King, Mike Bailey, and the Grizzled Young Veterans in a four-way tag match to retain the TNA World Tag Team championships. And am I wrong, or is ABC currently the only members of Bullet Club worldwide that are champions?
You are incorrect, technically. As of today, Bullet Club Gold, the Bang Bang Gang, Jay White and the Ass Boys, the Gun Club, they actually captured the ROH six-man championships. I mean, yet again, it's ROH. It's a weekly pay-per-view show online. But yeah, so they're champions. I'm trying to think if there's you. So you, when you say Bullet Club worldwide, you mean the ones that are not full time in
all of them. I mean,
in New Japan?
Everybody that's currently considered a member of Bullet Club.
David Finlay won the new belt at Wrestle Kingdom. Right. I mean, global he's the leader of the Bullet Club. Yeah, the global. See,
I'm trying to forget about
I'm trying to forget about David Finlay too, but unfortunately, they try to make us remember him, even though he's
exceptionally forgettable. Until you ruined it for me.
He's very forgetful. So Finlay, both the War Dog teams are not champions currently. I think so. It's Finlay and then Jay and the Ass Boys and then ABC. Are Finn and Damian Priest still the tag champs?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's their Bullet Club worldwide, aren't they? Isn't Finn still considered Bullet Club? He was never technically kicked out of the Bullet Club. He just left to go to greener pastures.
I guess.
I mean, Kenny was the only one who was really kicked out of Bullet Club as far as a leader. The others just kind of left.
And AJ.
And then somebody else kind of took over. AJ just left. They didn't beat the shit out of AJ, and did they?
Yeah, Kenny did.
Oh, yeah. But then Kenny himself got kicked out, so, I don't know.
Well, I was kind of going by, members of Stu coming back.
You know? Yeah, well, David Finlay, the leader of current leader of Bullet Club, has a championship, so there goes your theory out the window, regardless of else is champion.
Yeah, and then I just remembered, isn't Taiji Ishimori the provisional king of pro wrestling?
Yes, he is. You're right. You're right about that. Yeah, he is. Yeah, because he pretty much ran out the clock and ran away from Great Okan. To hold that. So yeah, that's true. Him as well. You were trying to make a point, and then you just didn't really think it through, though.
Listen, I have the memory of a 5-year-old, okay? What else can you expect? That's why I asked you. I didn't say that they were.
Okay. You didn't make a definitive statement. Were. It was a question. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right. Where were we? Hard to Kill. All right. Jordan Grace.
Yeah, the big boys and then the tag champs. Yeah.
Jordan Grace defeated Trinity to become the new TNA Knockouts World Champion. Here where Grace was calling her shot. She had a Call Your Shot Championship title match. Surprise, surprise. Before the match started, we got a guest ringside. Ash by Elegance, who officially has now signed with TNA Wrestling, was ringside, of course. People will recognize Ash by Elegance as the former Dana Brooks.
Yeah. Oh. She had some guy there with her. I can't remember if they named him or not, but I'm guessing that he is Elegance. And that's the gimmick is that, like, he's the fashion designer who's creating the superstar, and so that's why she's elegance.
I figure she's just elegant, and that's why the whole thing.
No, I think it's supposed to be, you know, like the fragrances, like fragrance names, you know, Blue by CK1, you know, like that kind of thing. I think that's what it's supposed to be. So that's why I'm guessing. I mean, we'll see more as you know, she makes her weekly shows and, you know, these kind of things, and kind of explains the character a little more. But that was my first thought, is that it's, you know, she is Ash. I think isn't her real name Ashley or something. So, so elegance is whomever is curating and designing, you know, her to be this superstar. That's my guess and take on it. Yet again, we'll see as they tell us more, but that was my first thought on it.
Yeah. Well, we shall see.
But the bigger thing is, you know, is Trinity losing her championship. So now people are already speculating that she's jumping back to WWE. Her and Mercedes are jumping back to WWE to team with Bayley to battle Damage Control at WrestleMania. Neither of which has been confirmed by anybody. I think it's fan wishful thinking. You know, yes, supposedly the rumor is that her deal with TNA is coming to an end, but she was announced for television for a match this week on television. So she's not done with them yet. You know, but yeah, I mean, her losing the championship to Grace, you know, when Trinity came in, Grace was seemingly on her way out, at least for a while. You know, she was done. She hadn't re-signed with TNA and was looking to possibly take some extended time off, etc. So she's back as well. You know, and I think now with, you know, the current things, if you have, you know, Grace as champion and Giselle, you know, looking to try and capitalize and cash in her giant red X to get her shot at the championship. To me, that's a solid story with two solid competitors who've been with Impact Wrestling for many years, who've just never had a strong program together yet. So I'm interested and excited to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what I would say is that if anybody's going to go back to WWE, I think that Trinity here has, you know, more of an incentive to do it, because A, she left. She, you know, built her name outside of WWE, proved that she could do something, right? Now she's here. She's had title shifts. She can come back. People are really going to get into her. You know, her husband's still there on Friday nights trying to become the next tribal chief with no success. So, you know, having, you know, his best friend and his wife by his side would be nice. I mean, it would be really, I think, a cool story if she did go back. I think that she's the more likely to come back, because I don't think she would be asking for as much money as it is rumored that Mercedes is asking. So, yeah, time will tell. I mean, she definitely doesn't need to come back. She's doing well.
Yeah,
where she's at. So that's definitely a thing. But, you know, hey, do what's best for you, and whatever your heart desires, that's what I say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, So I hope that Ash by Excellence, Elegance, I'm gonna
miss elegance. Her. Yeah, you keep wanting to say excellence. Yeah,
yeah. Ash by elegance has, you know, success in TNA. All right, we come to your main event. Another title change. Everybody's winning new belts. It's a new day. Yes, it is. Moose defeated Alex Shelley to become the new TNA World Champion. Of course, Moose had the Feast or Fire World title shot that he cashed in. Yeah, so Moose once again, the TNA World Champion this time. He earned the belt, not just picked it up from some, you know, trash can or whatever it is he found the belt the first time around. But yeah, he is now the proper TNA World Champion. And I mean, you know, I guess we're riding the Moose train, but it didn't end that way. It didn't end with Moose standing tall as the Wanted Man, right? That's his new nickname.
That's the new nickname, yeah.
Yeah, the Wanted Man. I mean, fresh off his appearance at
Wrestle Kingdom,
New Japan Pro Wrestling. Yeah,
yeah.
And now at TNA Wrestling, right?
Yeah. Now, I mean, they're right there in their main event spot. Yeah.
You know, he reveals he's wearing a TNA Wrestling, you know, tank top. Underneath his shirt, what does that mean? I mean, is he signed to TNA? They haven't said.
No, but, not yet.
You know, he looks like to be challenging Moose for the world title. You know, he is challenging Finley for the global title. And just announced
had that match. Has that match been made official between he and Finley?
I believe so. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And also just recently announced the Wanted Man is facing off against the Indie God himself, Matt Cardona at GCW of all places. So talk about quite the introduction to the Indies that Nick Nemeth is having.
Yeah, jumping right out there. Jumping right out there, making his presence known. He's here to show the world.
He definitely is. I mean, just he's not taking it easy. I mean, he's been waiting.
Yeah.
He's been waiting for his 90-day clock, and from what I hear, I think it was said in an interview how he felt good, how as soon as his, you know, he was, you know, out, people reached out to him. Everybody wanted to sign him, and he thought TNA was a great fit. Obviously, New Japan crosses a lot of checklists. And, yeah, I mean, trying to take the top spot in the independents, a spot that recently most taken up by Matt Cardona. Right, the way that he's being able to reinvent himself and basically be the guy when it comes, you know, to the indies. But Nick Nemeth here, if he is unsigned, definitely a guy who's looking to take that top spot as the top guy.
Well, I want to, if you're talking about people who are looking to take the top spot on the independents, you need to look at Mustafa Ali. He did the, you know, a couple weeks ago, debuted the whole In Ali We Trust video, mm-hmm. and he'd apparently signed to appear at all kinds of other places, but kept it quiet until he dropped his video saying, here's his new message, here's the new character and the new motivation. And now he's going everywhere. He appeared at the, in a video at the Battle in the Valley for New Japan. Challenging Hiromu Takahashi for Windy City Riot. And that show has now officially sold out. Mustafa Ali is hitting all the major independents around the country. Okay, we're talking East Coast, West Coast, Midwest.
Well, yeah.
And all these shows are selling out. He's had from what I saw one of the reporters say, is that he's had a stronger impact on ticket sales than any other WWE release in many years. You know, he came out, he hit the ground running, he announced all these shows, and now all these shows are showing they're sold out.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You're right. I mean, that guy who's coming out hot, I mean, he probably has the busiest schedule of
because he's going all over the world. He was in Europe this past weekend. He was in France and somewhere else, and then he'll be coming back to the States, and then he'll be going back to Europe, and he is literally hitting the ground hard and trying to go everywhere and challenging all different kinds of opponents. And the fans are excited. I mean, the ticket sales are showing that. People are buying tickets to see this guy wrestle.
Yeah, just take a quick look. He recently faced off against Gringo Loco at GCW. This weekend, he'll be at Demand Lucha, a C4, then North Shore Pro Wrestling. Then he's going to the UK, making his debut at Progress Wrestling. Coming back February 9th, Defy Wrestling. And then these are some of the big matches that have been announced. For three-way wrestling, Mustafa Ali versus Penta El Cero Miedo versus El Hijo de Vikingo versus Gringo Loco. I mean, that's going to be a wild match. You're going to probably be looking for
that's this. That's Lucha Extremo right there. Yeah.
Prestige Wrestling is going to give us Mustafa Ali versus Speedball Mike Bailey.
Mike Bailey is low key king of the indies. Yeah. Okay, that guy, yet again, somebody who's everywhere on every single card, wrestling everybody and anybody, and having amazing matches with them all.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Still stand by. He was my WrestleMania weekend MVP last year.
Oh yeah, yeah. He'll probably be pretty close to it this year.
Yeah, and then Mustafa Ali will be at Warrior Wrestling facing against Trey Miguel. Definitely his world tour, his campaign world tour.
In Ali we trust.
It is huge. He definitely came out. I mean, that video, that was credit to Craig Mitchell for putting that video together. Just announcing the Mustafa Ali World Tour campaign was just fantastic. And then after the fact, promos he continues to do, I mean, it's just, I think, we are in the middle of, election season, right? So,
yeah,
you know,
election year building into WrestleMania season. He paid for his own, you know, for that Ali's America video to be made and pushed it to WWE. And they said, no, we don't want to do that. We feel it kind of pushes too many buttons. And he showed that online. He's like, hey, you know, here's, you know, I paid to have this made. I showed it to WWE, you know, proposed this whole thing to them, and they said no. But he put that video online, and it circulated. A lot of people saw it and liked it, and were they wanted to see what that could have been. So now he's kind of re-upped it a little bit, you know, now to fit into this election year, thing. But that is, you know, that is pretty much the same type thing. I'm very excited. I saw he was the closest place to us that he was announced for so far was AML, but they in North Carolina, but they haven't announced the show date. They just said he's coming to AML later this year, in the next few months.
Well, you know, who knows what could happen, you know? Completely wishful thinking. I have no control over this, but man, what if he showed up March 24th in Atlanta?
What's March 24th in Atlanta?
MLA.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring El Hijo del Vikingo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. That's always a possibility. I hadn't even thought about that.
But yeah, yeah, you're right. Mustafa Ali is definitely a guy who's also wanting to give that indie god a run for his money. Matt Cardona has competition, and I don't think he hates it. I think he's embracing it because
I think that's the point. I think that's the point. Is he wanted competition? He wanted, you know, he was showing people that it can be done, and now he's wanting, you know, he's saying, "Hey, I did it. You can do it too. Come join me." I think that's kind of his thing. So, yeah. I mean, I think he's happy to have other people try to, like you said, try to challenge him for that crown, take that crown from him.
Yeah, invest in yourself, better in yourself. You know, if you do it right, it's going to pay off. But yeah, just to confirm, Nick Nemeth versus David Finlay at New Beginning in Sapporo for the New Japan Pro Wrestling Global Championship. So. Yeah.
Okay, so that is happening. Okay.
Yeah. So lots of big things come leading into you know, right now where everybody's you would think people would be talking the Royal Rumble, but right now with everything else happening, just so much stuff. But let's not forget about the Royal Rumble because it is happening this coming up Saturday. A week from this Saturday is going to be in the Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg, Florida. So they'll be at a baseball stadium. So let's hope that these guys, you know, don't gas out trying to run all the way from the entrance to the ring. So it's going to be quite a run. But so far, the 30-man Royal Rumble match and the 30-women Royal Rumble matches for the World Championship shots at WrestleMania 40. So far, who's in? For the men, Cody Rhodes, CM Punk, Shinsuke Nakamura, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, and Gunther. For the women, Bayley, Nia Jax, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair. Logan Paul will be defending the United States Championship against Kevin Owens. Roman Reigns will be facing off against Randy Orton, AJ Styles, and LA Knight. Yeah. To defend the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. They may add, I think, a match or two there somewhere. But other than that, it's pretty much looking like quite the card. Do you have a favorite going into the Royal Rumble?
I mean, I think it's Jay. I think the Uso takes it and goes to fight Roman at WrestleMania. I think that's the most logical thing that happens.
Well, I'm thinking Punk.
Really?
It's the only way he's going to earn a shot against Rollins. I think Jay is going to be facing up against his brother at WrestleMania.
So Punk wins the Rumble and challenges Rollins.
Yeah.
Jimmy versus Jay. So who would be challenging Roman in your scenario then?
Well, I'm still under the unpopular belief that it's very possible the Tribal Chief loses his title without getting pinned at the Royal Rumble.
I think that's that's a very poor way to handle it, you know, because the point of at this point with his you know, historic title reign, etc., the point is the person who beats him is going to be a made person. Okay, that's right. Going to be huge for them.
But I think nobody's going to beat him.
That's what I'm saying. It's a fucking waste, though.
No, because
he drops the belt, the importance goes away.
It does not.
Just pinning him is not the same as pinning him for the championship, especially at the biggest event of the year.
It is.
No, it is 100% not. No. If he drops that championship, what are we, you know? Okay, so he hasn't been pinned in so long, but it loses a lot of the meaning once he no longer has a title. You're not breaking a historic title reign. The historic title reign has been broken.
Right.
Nobody cares about a Goldberg streak in 2024, okay? He's not 175-0. Nobody gives a shit.
People care about Lesnar last year or over a year ago. He kept losing to Reigns, but he kept coming back, and the crowd was hotter than ever, and he was overlaid Rover, and everybody was rooting for him to take out the Tribal Chief. How many years The Undertaker had wrestled in all these non-title matches where he was one of the featured stars, you know, and his different streaks? I do think
that those streaks were established outside of the championship. Roman's streak has been established through the championship. So they're intertwined. They have to end at the same time by one single person definitively winning. And that person then becomes the top fucking guy.
Let me tell you this. If they signed The Rock to wrestle at WrestleMania, he's dropping that belt at the Royal Rumble.
I know. Because yet again, it's a waste. Because then somebody else, the new champion, cool, but like you didn't be the champion for it. Like it's a half-assed title win that's not going to have the same meaning, regardless of whether Roman is still undefeated.
And that's why they have these guys. Think about this, right? Think about one of these guys, you know, has a title. And then let's just say they go to France or they go to whatever other place they're going to go this year, and Roman Reigns reclaims his title after beating The Rock. He's still unstoppable. And then he faces Cody at SummerSlam.
I think that's too much. No. I think you're just taking it too far just to do stupid shit. No, it... because if it carries on that long, I think people are going to lose interest. Because Roman's unstoppable streak is tied to his championship reign. You cannot separate them and then reattach them. I think it loses a lot of the importance and it loses a lot of the impact for the person who beats him for that championship.
I agree.
I mean, they could do 100 different things. Yeah. I don't really think The Rock is coming back to wrestle. I think he came back on a Monday to excite everybody and try to get some ratings. I don't think he's actually coming back to wrestle. Certainly not a main event match for 20 plus minutes. The bros getting blown up cutting promos, okay? He can train between now and then, and I don't think he's still going to be ring ready. He's been away from wrestling for too long. His physique and body are different. He's older now. You know, yet again, yeah, he can make some money and, you know, quote unquote, give back to wrestling, whatever the hell he wants to say. But ultimately, I think there's more money to be made with him for less activity in, you know, keep pushing out these fucking blockbusters that literally have nothing to do but somehow put Rock in the jungle in a beige button down shirt. Because they cost a fuck ton of money to make, but then they make a fuck ton of money at the box office. I think he can make more money doing that and less risk to his own physical health and well-being, as opposed to trying to get back into wrestling shape and then actually wrestling. I mean, he beat himself up real bad the last time he fought Cena, and that was 10 fucking years ago.
I don't disagree with you, but
yeah,
this is the World Wrestling Entertainment we're talking about.
Anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation. That's true.
You know, you get this tease of this, and then you put Roman in a four-way match where he could lose his belt without getting pinned. I mean, the signs are there. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Unless Rock shows up at the Royal Rumble and physically costs Roman the championship, I don't see your scenario happening.
Okay.
I don't see it happening to where Roman's just on the outside of the ring where somebody else pins somebody else and he loses championship and he goes, oh, no. If you're going to do this fucking Rock match, you have to have Rock come out and cost him the championship, because otherwise there's no reason for Roman to fight the Rock. Roman doesn't give a shit about him. Roman's the champion. Roman's doing all this, you know? Mm-hmm. As a heel, as if, you know, as you'd position Roman as the heel in that situation, why does he want to fight the Rock? You know, why does he want to give the Rock and the people what they want to see?
Yeah. Or you could just bring Hulk Hogan and beat him in 30 seconds.
Do the Ultimate Warrior and just crush him, yeah. Just okay. Charge on out there, handful of clotheslines, big splash, you know.
We're only 10 days away from this show. We'll figure out what happens then, and then 2 weeks from now, we'll talk about it. And, you know, either I'll say you're right or you'll say I'm right. Regardless, one of us is going to be right.
Not necessarily, no. We can both be wrong. It's the World Wrestling Federation. Anything can happen.
Yeah. And on the other side, Rollins defeated Jinder Mahal to retain the WWE championship. Unfortunately, it was Rollins got injured and had to be taken out to the back. So hopefully it's nothing serious. Because the last thing they need is for Seth Rollins to have to vacate the title and, you know, ruin some of the plans, because that CM Punk match is right there. It's, you know, that's just the money match. But on sad news, though, Cora Jade announced to have suffered a torn ACL at a house show this past weekend. She just came back, defeated Gigi Golin, you know, and now she's back out. Sucks. Cora Jade, I think she had momentum here.
She's out for an injury, and during recovery she can get some other kind of body modification that people are going to simp over. You know, maybe get a big BBL or something. Give people something to get excited about.
But
that's definitely hard luck. You know, I mean, Tegan Knox did the same thing seemingly multiple times. You know, it sometimes happens. Part of it is, you know, training, the life schedule, you know, the schedule. Sometimes your body just kind of starts to, you go through those spells where you're somehow, you just kind of have some bad luck. Take a couple falls the wrong way and it messes things up for a long time.
Yeah. No, for sure. And then announced for NXT Vengeance, which I believe is happening next month, you have the returning Ilja Dragunov defending his NXT championship against Trick Williams. And Roxanne Perez will be challenging Lyra Valkyria for the NXT Women's title. A little caveat here is that the Dusty Classic Finals will be also at Vengeance Day. Currently, Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes are in the semifinals. If they defeat Nathan Frazier and what's his name? That the kid. I forget the name of his
brother. Jeremy.
No, not Physic. Jeremy. No.
I'm trying to think of names that WWE hasn't used, so they would be used in NXT. Because you couldn't be a Steve or a Sam or a Jack or a Jake or a John or a, you know, a Paul.
Axiom. You know. That's it. Axiom.
Ah, yes, yes.
They defeat the Axiom. So if they defeat them, take that back. They're on the other bracket. Sorry. pay attention, pal. All right, so Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes are going to be facing off against the LWO. And if they defeat them, they'll move on to the finals. And that's going to be at NXT Vengeance. So... will Trick Williams have to wrestle twice? I mean, they've been building this dissension between Trick and Carmelo.
Yeah.
And I think that the Dusty Classic is where they're just going to butt heads and you know, part ways.
Yeah, I still don't like the idea of them having to fight and part ways. You know, why? I still feel that they could just be two singles. You know, they could be like, like that mid-level DX where it was, or even the early DX where it was just two singles guys who wrestled singles, you know, and they were just buddies and hung out together. Mm-hmm. But they were holding different singles championships, you know. They didn't have to hate each other just because they weren't a tag team, you know, just because they weren't tag teaming regularly. Why does everybody got to hate each other and break up and all that stuff? I don't like that.
Because it's pro wrestling. Nobody can get along.
But some people are supposed to get along.
Well. All right. Deonna Perez is officially a member of the AEW roster. She's All Elite, and I think she's going to fit pretty well there.
Yeah. I mean, she seems to be doing well so far already. She's getting a very decent treatment. You know, I mean, we've talked for many years, you know, Deonna's rise in TNA and, you know, essentially becoming one of the best wrestlers in the world as far as the complete package. And, you know, I hope that she can continue that momentum in the overly bloated roster of All Elite Wrestling and their notoriously wishy-washy booking of the women's division. You know, she's already gunning for the champion, Toni Storm, who's, you know, pretending she has no idea who Deonna is and doesn't even want anything to do with her. But, yeah, hopefully it continues to work well for her. I mean, but yes, it seems like it's things are fitting together well right now. We'll just have to see.
Yeah. Speaking of injuries, Kota Ibushi announced, he's got a torn right ligament. So he's gonna have to take time off.
He looked real bad in his Noah match with Mar Fuji. From what people said, it seemed that he walked out to the match you know, already sporting some kind of injury, and it seemingly just got worse and worse and worse as the match continued. A lot of people said it was hard to watch, being that Kota Ibushi had been one of the best in the world for so long, to see him, you know, struggle to get through a match. So it's just, yeah, I mean, hopefully he takes time off, gets his body and his mind right before, before he even thinks of trying to step back into professional wrestling ring.
Right. That's definitely, that would definitely be quite something. See what you know, I mean, like you said, Kota Ibushi worked best to ever do it, but man, the injuries have really taken a toll on him. You know, New Japan wanted to be careful, and they did their own thing, and you know, Kota Ibushi was, you know, not happy with the treatment that he got by New Japan, but maybe they were onto something. You know, he wanted out his contract and, you know, go out and wrestle, but he's been wrestling hurt. His left leg is still hurt. His shoulder is hurt. You know, he had to have, you know, ankle injury, and now the torn ligaments on his right leg. So, you know, the full tear in his leg, right leg is just awful luck. I mean, at 41 years old, I mean, sure, he could come back, but I mean, for what? Is he going to be the same? He's not going to be the same Kota Ibushi. And yeah, I mean, thankfully, he signed that nice contract with AEW before getting injured. So, you know, at least he'll get some pay.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I mean, he'd also talked about, you know, wanting to do, you know, like mentoring and training and that kind of thing. So that's certainly something that he can do, you know, while he himself cannot physically wrestle, you know, as long as he's in the right headspace mentally. Yeah, I mean, it's rough. It's a rough hit for him. And it may just be that all those, you know, the years of his style have just kind of caught up to him very quickly. You know, I mean, we've seen things like that with, you know, I mean, you know, unfortunately happened to Hayabusa, and, you know, even guys now, you know, like Takayama and Otani, you know, are much older, but they're the miles of wrestling, the style caught up to them. And, you know, they're in very, very poor health. I guess you just didn't expect to see it happen to somebody so young. But I guess Kota Ibushi went a lot harder from a very young age, you know? It may just be that, like you said, he may just never return back to that original form. And, you know, doing anything more would just tarnish the legacy that you have, you know, because that's what people are going to remember. They're going to remember 2 or 3 years of you slugging and fighting through, you know, like Chris Jericho, basically. You know, Chris Jericho for years was, you know, everybody considered him kind of one of this unsung hero, and this guy who was, you know, one of the generational, you know, people who was overlooked by bigger stars, but, you know, held a strong catalog and all this, but this last couple years in AEW are what's probably going to stick out in people's mind. And that's, you know, they're not going to focus and they're going to have a harder time looking past these rough last couple years to go back to all the good memories. And I would hate for the same thing to be similar and happen to Kota Ibushi, for him to come back, not at full form, not really healthy, you know, and just slowed down and not able to wrestle the way he probably wants to wrestle, and the way the fans want to see him wrestle, And that's what people would remember him for, as opposed to, you know, nearly 20 years of amazing stuff from, you know, from across various companies. And I think it was all the more shocking just because he is a little bit younger and people are like, holy shit, Kota Ibushi's back. This is going to be great. He's going to, you know, he and Mara Fuji are going to put on a match of the year candidate and all this stuff. And it was, you know, it was a lot of fans said it was difficult to watch. You know, it was like painful. Like they were just like, it was upsetting to people to see him having fallen so hard so quickly. Professional wrestling is a very taxing business on you physically, mentally, emotionally, you know, socially, spiritually. It wears and it breaks you down. And some people, it just breaks them down a lot harder and a lot faster, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And unfortunately, it's hitting Ibushi at possibly the worst time, maybe.
I don't know if it would say like the worst, you know, but yeah, this is supposed to be kind of a burst into the American scene to become a true international superstar. You know, and yeah, I don't know if it's ever going to become that, you know?
Yeah, no, at this point, it's hard to see that being the thing. And, you know, with him being out, will TK, honestly, you know, I think he's still trying to feature him when he gets back. Just depends. I mean, he'll be gone for a while at this point.
Yeah, he probably will be, yeah. And then yet again, what condition and what shape is he going to be in? Once he does come back, you know, what are they going to be able to do with him, you know?
Yeah. Couldn't happen to a better guy. It just sucks. But, you know, that's just what happens. And hopefully he doesn't get the injury prone tag. But at the same time, he's not the same guy he was, you know, a few years ago. And maybe he just needs to adapt to that.
Yeah. I mean, Kenta had to do that ultimately, you know?
Yeah.
You know, he definitely doesn't run at the same, you know, speed he did and all that when he left, you know, Pro Wrestling Noah the first time. To come to the U.S., you know, it was injuries, and then it was age, and then it was injuries, and then it was, you know, what kind of combination of things, and he's definitely adapted his style, you know, because he physically can't do what he once did. And so, yeah, I mean, Kota Ibushi could have a longer life if he's willing to do that, you know, but yet again, like you said, it's going to be a long process of physically healing. What is he going to be like mentally throughout all this too?
Right.
I don't, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't look to have a very happy or positive ending, no matter what happens. I think like the realities of it are much less of a happy ending.
Yeah, well, only time will tell, I guess, what the future holds. Only time will tell. All right. John Cena, 47 years old, is now talking about starting to look at the end of his career. We last saw him in November. Putting over Solo Sikoa.
Saudi Arabia.
Obviously he's, you know, he's also a guy who's pretty busy with his extracurricular activities. You know, he's got his own show on Max.
TV and movies. Yeah, he's very high in demand. I mean, he's all over the commercials. You know, he's doing voiceover work. He's putting in faces for all these different commercials as well. So, yeah, he's got a very busy schedule. He's very high in demand. And realistically, yet again, what does he have left to prove?
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, with Cena, I mean, he's definitely a guy who plans ahead. He's not gonna stick it out. I mean, as much as he does love pro wrestling, I think that he's not gonna be the type of guy who just when it disappears. Because he is, you know, if you think about it, if there's ever been a guy who has grown up as a fan's wrestler, it's John Cena. He embraced fans and the WWE Universe like no other wrestler had in the past. You know, I think you see a lot more of that now, but to me at least, Cena was always there, you know, shaking hands, kissing babies, you know, meeting everybody and anybody. I mean, this is why John Cena is the number one most, Make-A-Wish grantee ever. You know, because he's always been a fan. So I think that he's definitely going to have some type of farewell. So
yeah, that's true. He does deserve, you know, that for his years of service to pro wrestling. And also he probably wants to do something like that for the fans. Give one last big special, you know, kind of memory.
So with that being said,
because pretty much he's come back a few times and put the young kids over.
If they give Danny Danger the pen, who would you pick as John Cena's final match opponent?
I don't know. I mean, it's you go back and forth on this. Like, well, do you pick a great opponent from the past? Like, do you pick Randy Orton because he and Orton have, you know, wrestled each other so many times? Or do you go, those guys have wrestled each other a fuck ton of times. Do we want to see it again? You know, like people were saying with Sting, you know, oh, I want to see him versus Flair one more time. Like, do you really?
I mean, in 2024, Flair could barely make it in the ring.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. But like, that fans were talking about that. Like, oh, they got it. Like, you know, so
Flair's going to be in the guy's corner. That's all we need to know.
That's way more than he needs to be. He needs to be away far. But, or do you, you know, yet again, give it to, you know, I mean, his last couple, I mean, he put over Theory, you know, Austin Theory, and so was Solo, you know, guys who are seen as kind of the next rising generation of superstars. I think it should be somebody who's not somebody who's kind of on the starting out, but somebody who's been there a long time and is just waiting to be pushed into that upper echelon. You know, I would say somebody, you know, either KO or Sami Zayn kind of level, you know, somebody who's making their legacy, but hasn't yet fully established it yet. I think it needs to be somebody on that level as opposed to, you know, an old timers match with two guys who aren't going to be able to wrestle the way that they used to wrestle. Or, you know, you don't want to just give his last ever match to somebody, you know, who might not pan out with WWE. I mean, he wrestled Austin Theory and all that, but who's to say that Austin Theory is going to develop into a main event level player? Who's going to say that he wants to develop into a main event level player with WWE? You know, who's to say that 2 years from now he doesn't, you know, Austin Theory doesn't decide to leave to go to, you know, TNA or go to Mexico or, you know, go somewhere else, who knows where, and not become the next face of WWE. So I think it needs to be somebody who's more secure in their company, you know, who's, like I said, who's a, you know, that KO level, you know, KO who's kind of been up and down, you know, or, or Sami Zayn, or, you know, even possible Cody or Miz, you know, somebody along those levels who haven't yet firmly established themselves as WWE legends, but are close to getting to that level. You know, that would be me. I'm not going to pick somebody specific in all this because I don't, you know, but I think that's the level the person needs to be at. That's where the position needs to go to. You know, Undertaker dropped his streak to Brock Lesnar, you know, partially due to a shock factor, but also because he wanted to give it to somebody who he felt was going to carry stuff for the next few years. And Brock Lesnar very well did that. You know, he carried, you know, he was the face of the company for many years after that. So I think that this Cena match needs to be something similar that would make somebody a top player for the next several years. You know, starting with a big match, even if they lose, it's, you know, you still take that person and push them forward. That's what I think it is the better situation rather than do like this Edge versus Randy Orton over and over again, you know, like that really didn't do fuck all for either guy really.
Are you ready to know where AEW is going to go next? I'm not gonna do that.
Are they going to the profit pay window, or are they still losing a fuck ton of money?
I mean, with that payroll they have, they're definitely still losing money. But they'll be back in Georgia next week. They're gonna do Dynamite and Rampage from Savannah, Georgia. They won't be in the
loop. Savannah. All right. There you go. So tone it down. Yeah. Take some secondary cities and smaller venues and see if you can pack those motherfuckers.
I mean,
you go try and gas south and Mercedes Benz and all that stuff.
They
had a very, very hard time of getting anywhere near full.
Sure. I mean, this is the kind of arenas that they're doing, even though they're at their all time high level, as much as Tony Khan says. Shai Fetz Arena, the End Market Arena, the Brookshire Grocery Arena. So
I don't know any of those places or where they are or how big they are.
Yeah. In New Orleans, they'll be at the Uno Lakefront Arena. If I remember correctly, the Uno Lakefront Arena is where ROH had their WrestleMania weekend Supercard of Honor back in wherever that WrestleMania was that I went to New Orleans, 2018, I think is what it was.
Okay.
Burt Ogden Arena, Footprint Arena, the Dollar Loan Arena, HEB Center, not the grocery store, but an actual arena, BOK Center. No big arenas. I think the biggest arena
is the
Greensboro Coliseum.
That's good. I assume those big arenas are very expensive, and if you're not selling the tickets, you know, you need to find ways to cut some costs somewhere. You know, if you're only going to sell 6,000 tickets, you don't need to try for a 20,000 seat arena. You get somewhere that's closer to six to 8,000, you know, so you sell more of that out and then you make more, you know, in theory, maybe you get close to making a profit, you know, I mean, that's fucking business. They ain't just going to lay off a bunch of people, you know, because they've criticized WWE for years and years and years about, you know, laying off people when they're, you know, and all this.
Yeah.
You know. To make profits, etc. You know, so they're gonna have they gotta find something, you know, before eventually If they don't, I mean, at some point the well's gonna start to run dry.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, somebody's gonna have to say, like, you know, we can't just keep fucking losing millions and millions of dollars every year doing this. This can't just be a multi-million dollar expensive hobby.
Well, according to Teddy Karn, it is going to be a very expensive hobby, and one that he's in the long run. He wants to fight. They want to fight. He's going to fight.
No, yes, he's the last fighter. The last fighter, as he calls himself. Ah, yes.
I should say the difference between him and Ted Turner and the NWA owners.
Rockets or something.
The Crockett and, you know, Bill Watts and all of them, is that he's loaded.
Turner was fucking loaded, but he also realized when he needed to sell it to somebody else.
No, let's not forget, that's not what happened. He merged with Time Warner. Time Warner's like, we don't want this.
Time Warner merged with AOL, and they were the ones who were like, we don't want this. This is losing a fuck ton of money. What are we doing here? Yeah.
Yeah. So if Ted had still ran it, it would have lasted a little longer, possibly.
That's true. That's true, yeah. Eric Bischoff writing Ted Turner's checks and stuff, yeah.
But alas, let's not digress. You know, Tony Khan is going to do Tony Khan things. I mean, and he's paying people millions of dollars, so eventually he'll get his return. But
maybe.
Yeah. I mean, at least he'll fill up Wembley again, right?
Maybe.
He always has that. I mean, Revolution's almost sold out. I think he has like maybe like a couple hundred tickets left.
That's cool, but I mean, is that one success going to fund the rest of the year of struggles?
No.
I mean, is it like the tent pole that's going to keep the business going?
Definitely not. But we shall see. Apparently Netflix is moving forward with the Vince McMahon documentary. According to Dave Meltzer, he's been interviewed multiple times. More to come, but yeah, let's see what, you know, the rise and fall of Vince McMahon. I mean, I don't know if he ever really had a fall. I mean, the guy's making more money than ever. He barely has to do any work.
I mean, in theory, he had a lot of falls, but he's always and those falls come to his image and professional image and stuff. That's pretty much what they come to.
Which he never cared about, you know?
Yeah. As long as he was making fucking money, he didn't care if people liked him, which is the adverse of TK, who seems to be more obsessed with whether he's liked and loved and respected instead of making fucking money.
Stay off Twitter, TK. Off X. Stay off X.
Yeah, just put your fucking... delete the social media apps off your phone, you dingus.
Do as Danny Danger did.
Yep.
Move it to the Instagram. All right. Lastly, last question for you. Who's the guy to face Gunther at WrestleMania? The rumors are it's Brock Lesnar.
Really?
Now, talking about, you know, long reigns, I mean, the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all times. Is Lesnar the guy to beat him? Or is this another step to elevate Gunther even more.
I mean, hopefully it's something to elevate Gunther rather than just have Brock Lesnar come in and end somebody's streak again and leave. You know, is I mean, in theory, that's what Brock should be used for. You know, put a couple of the kids over. Now that he, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If not Lesnar, who would you pick to face against Gunther?
Don't know.
It's going to be a marquee match and a hell of a match.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely needs to be. But, yeah, so I think, I mean, Brock seems like the logical next step up. You know, I mean, he's faced and beaten all the big bruisers and brawlers, you know. He had Miz come in where Miz was trying to, you know, outwit Gunther, you know, rather than just run head on and try to outpower him and all this that other people, so many people had failed. Miz tried to, you know, tried a different strategy and all that and still failed. You know, so I think you have to go, you know, yeah, I mean, Brock Lesnar's been the biggest, the baddest bruiser of the last 10 to 15 years. So I think that, yeah, I think that seems a logical thing, but then Gunther needs to beat Brock, I think.
That he does. I think you're right, but who knows how it's going to go. But, I mean, Gunther has been in such a role. He cannot be denied.
Yeah, yeah.
But will he? All right, well, that is it for tonight. Hopefully, the other fellas will be able to join us next week.
Hopefully, somebody. Definitely 2 weeks.
The road to WrestleMania begins a week from this Saturday. The Royal Rumble.
I feel like the road to WrestleMania is like a NASCAR track and never truly ends. You just circle around back to it. So there's never an end to the road of WrestleMania. We're always on the road to WrestleMania.
Well, it sort of ends at WrestleMania.
No, that's just the lap, and then you go, and then you continue on that same road to circle back around to WrestleMania the following year.
Yeah. Well, I am preparing for WrestleMania. I'm prepared to eat me some cheesesteaks. I'm prepared to run up on those rocky steps. I'm prepared to watch a lot of wrestling. I already have my full wrestling schedule set. I'll be at the WrestleCon Super Show, Joey Janela Spring Break, TJPW, Joey Janela Spring Break 2nd, WrestleMania. I think that's all.
All right.
So, yeah, it'll be cool. I get to see, Yoshi-Pro in Tokyo, yeah. And I'll get to watch him in Philadelphia.
That's going to be awesome, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully in seats that are a little bit more comfortable. I mean, as much as I love to have partaken in the history of being able to watch a wrestling show live at Corrigan Hall, it was a pain in my butt. So, yeah. Here's to hope for more comfortable seats and a little bit more wiggle room because I wasn't made for those type of seats. But, I mean, great time. Can't wait to go back to Japan 2026. It's the goal. But, yeah, it'll be fun. WrestleMania weekend. I am almost ready for it. And yeah, it should be a great time. But until then, make sure you subscribe on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Spotify, and everywhere you listen to podcasts. Check us out on the X at FOW Radio. Danny is not on X, but you can find them on the Instagram. Is it even your same thing?
No.
How have you changed it? What is it? I never looked.
It's Daddy Love Danger.
There you go. So check him out if you want to see his Instagram pictures. Get to know the man behind the danger. You can find Mika Villas at Mika Villas, Eric at EJ423X. I'm on Twitter on X. I always mess this up. At YellowmanPA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.